Turn tonight in your Bibles to the book of James. James chapter 5. Some verses that I have used here before at certain times. And I want to take these verses tonight and just try to share some truths with you. And I guess I preface it with, like Brother Billy Mitchell says many times, as far as I know. I'm going to tell you as much as I know about these scriptures, and I certainly don't say I have all the answers, but I have certainly looked at them and prayed over them and studied them and thought about them. And I guess people in sickness, I remember Brother Marsh was here preaching for us. He said a lot of his experiences, he gets messages out of what's happening in his family, been going through some troubles and trials. And he preached a message here that day. And when you're sick, you think about things. And so, but I just got this on my mind, and no particular thing about me per se, except for the fact that when you're sick, you want somebody to pray for you, and you want somebody to care enough to get a hold of God. But this is dealing specifically with something that I feel like today is much misunderstood, and many people take it in the wrong context, really, and try to make something out of it that it's not. But just let me try to read you the verses first, and then we'll back up and try to look at them and make some statements that I hope will help all of us tonight in preaching this portion of the Word of God. And these times you struggle on what to preach, but I just couldn't get this off my mind. And I don't know exactly the purpose of it, but God always does. And he's always right. And so we'll endeavor by his grace and help tonight to share this with you. Stand, please, while we read James chapter 5, verse 13, beginning there. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, just a moment again with you before we begin to speak on these scriptures. And I ask in Jesus' name in a special way for a divine touch. Thy will be accomplished. And I pray you magnify yourself and help us to handle the Word of God rightly so. And we'll thank you for what you do. Speak to our hearts. And we'll trust you for all that's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this tonight, I guess we'll, I didn't even try to title it to tell you the truth about it. I just looked at it. But I want you to follow with me as we reread and then try to preach some as we go on this scripture. It's a part of the Word of God. God put it in here for a purpose. And it's as good as John 3:16. It's as important as inspired, as much God's Word as John 3:16 is. And so I don't want you to get nervous and think that that preacher is going off on a wild side of things, going get in, out in left field somewhere and get saying things that we're not in agreement with. Well, I don't think I'm going to get out there in left field anywhere where you won't be in agreement. I might get out there in the middle of the field and wonder where we are, but we'll try to hit it straight on. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And that's a good thing to do. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? And I want to stop right there just for a few moments and make some comments and say here is a inclusion and also an exclusion in that phrase. Is any sick among you? Any sick. Now, that's the inclusion in it. It includes any. Any means whoever. And so it's not whoever's the most prominent in the church. It's not whoever gives the most money to the church. It's not whoever sings the best or whoever preaches the best or whoever does anything the best. It just said, if any. That includes everybody. That means you, me, whoever it is. So it's inclusive. And I want us to understand it's written to us. And so that it's so inclusive. But it also goes on and says, among you. And that among you means it's exclusive. That is, he was writing to Christian people. He was writing to those who are already saved, so it included anybody and everybody that was saved in that group, in that church, but it did not include anybody that was not saved. And so if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're not included in this. And this is not written to you. It's written to those who are saved, those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as I always do when I preach, I want to see people get saved. I desire people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And if you're not saved, then you certainly ought to think about this, because there's always a lot of sickness around us, and people are in different times are sick, and we have people in the church that are sick now. We have different things in our own body. There's different people in the church that does. But how do we handle that? What do we do? And when's the proper time to make some drastic move, as we would call it, a drastic move anyway, but a biblical response to being sick? Is any sick among you? And so I ask you that question now. Any sick among you? Notice he already talked about the afflicted and talked about being merry and afflicted. And here he's talking about sickness. So affliction may not be sickness. It may be financial. It may be in family. It may be other afflictions that we have in this world are problems to us. They're difficulties. They're something we're going through. And so we have to deal with that. But here he's talking about sick, particularly sick and physically sick. Let him. Now here's the participants of it. It's included everybody that's saved in that church. And then it says, let him call for the elders of the church. Now that call for the elders of the church means that the elders are not calling for the sick. The sick are calling for the elders. It's not like these folk that get up and say, now anybody sick, come on up and we're going to pray for you and help you. Now, that's not what the Bible says. It says if anybody is in this position, we're going to get to in a minute and tell you about, and they want the elders to pray for them, they are to call for them, to come to them and pray over them. And so here we find this. And elders are those men that ordain leadership of the church. And that would be pastor and deacons. And the qualifications of deacons are kind of like the preacher. And in fact, they have a whole lot of same qualifications and meet those. And we understand that to be true of the Word of God. So we're not talking about just getting together and having a flim-flam time and then have a word of prayer. We're talking about something serious. We're talking about something that is really down real serious at the time, and not something that somebody's just taking lightly and saying, well, you know, sometimes people say pray for them, and we say we will, but we forget to. Y'all like that? And so I'm not too sure I ought not get like the preacher that every time somebody say pray for me, he just bow his head and start praying. And I guess that's the only way you could really get everybody, unless you're going to have a recorder and record all the requests. And sometimes people ask you to pray about things that they ought to pray about themselves. I guess that's the way he put it that. But I'm not saying we ought not pray one for another. Now, don't get me wrong. And I realize this is not a shouting message tonight. This is not a barn burner. But I pray it'll be a helpful message to us that would help us along the way. And so I'm talking about how this is handled today. Many people mishandle it, and they call for the sick, and they're going to have a healing service and all of that. And Somebody wrote one time in a book, they saw a sign on a church, and it said, healing service canceled tonight because the pastor's sick. I thought that funny. Heal thyself, O physician. And so cancel a healing service called the pastor's sick. I believe I'd be ashamed to put it up on a sign. I tell them providentially hindered. But anyway, they didn't ask me, did they? But no, probably like for them to put it up like it did, because it made it stand out just exactly what it was. But here he says, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I certainly don't have any problem about the anointing with oil, but I also believe that anointing with oil speaks of the type of the Holy Spirit of God. These men are to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's one of the qualifications. And so, that being so, then as they pray over him, he's going to be anointed with the Spirit of God. No question about that. And then also, it speaks of medicine. You remember when the story we know is a Good Samaritan, and he went down there where the man fell among thieves, and the Bible said he poured in oil and wine. And wine speaks of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Oil speaks of medicine. He was doing what he could to help the man. And I believe that God can heal without medicine. I believe God heals sometimes using medicine. I believe God sometimes uses surgery. I believe God sometimes uses some people use different methods. And Dr. Kenya sitting back there is a chiropractor, and there's certain things they can do and help you, and God can use that. But whatever healing does is divine healing. God does the healing. Man may manipulate your bones, or they may cut you open, or they may give you some medicine. But if it works, it's God that works in your body. He made these bodies. He knows all about them, exactly how to handle them. And so we need to understand that. And I remember reading a story one time about a lady that she was really in distress, and she called for a pastor, and he went, and she was walking the floor, wringing her hands, and said, "What shall I do? What shall I do?" And he said, "Do, tell Jesus." And she said, "That's what I must do. I must tell Jesus." And the man went home, straight home, when he left there, because he saw how it changed that woman's attitude, how her demeanor changed, and how much she lightened up when she said, "I must tell Jesus." Went home and wrote the words, penned down the words, "I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I must tell him." Amen. I'm glad. I cannot bear these burdens alone. Oh, he loves me and cares all for his own. I'm glad he does. I don't know if I have all the words of that song, but that's something how it goes. I must tell Jesus. You know the song. And you think about that. Next time you get real disturbed and real tore up, just start singing, "I must tell Jesus." And tell him. And that's what really he's talking about doing here, telling Jesus. And getting together and telling Jesus about it. And the situation that they find themselves in at that time. And so that's what they're doing. And they said they prayed over him. And that healing that comes from God. Let me also say this. All sickness is not because of sin. Well, I take that back. I start to say all sickness is not caused of sin, but it is. Because we've never known sickness had to not be sin come into the world. But all sickness is not directly a result of sin in the person's life. Job, for instance, he was being tried. It wasn't because he'd been bad. It wasn't because he'd done something wrong. It wasn't because God was chastening him. God was trying him and letting him have a trial. And so Paul, the great apostle Paul that wrote much of the New Testament, most of all the epistles, and did such a great work of God, and he had an affliction in the flesh, asked God to remove it 3 times, and God said no. And God said, "But my grace is sufficient for you. I'll help you, but I won't remove this affliction out of your life." And he did that. He kept on. Fact is, Dr. Luke went with him a lot of places that he went and ministered unto him and doctored him. And so these folk that say you never need to go to the doctor, you never need help, there's something wrong somewhere. If they say you always, if you have enough faith, you'll always get healed. And they're out. If somebody comes and don't get healed, is they just didn't believe enough. And that's not true. That's not true. The Bible does not teach that. He teaches according to the will of God. And Brother Paul said something a while ago I want to comment on in just a minute. But look at this. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the oil is just symbolic of the Holy Spirit and of medicine, and symbolic of just an obedience unto God. And prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now that word save there doesn't mean born again. It means to raise him up, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now let me say this to you. This person that called for the elders to come must have been very, very sick. Yeah, I did get one amen after that. He had to be very, very sick, or he wouldn't have called for the elders. Because the Bible said he couldn't get up. And he got up. God raised him up after that. They came and prayed over him and prayed for him and asked God to help him be his will. And I believe that's the way they prayed. I'll get to that in a minute too. But I'm telling you tonight, it's not praying over ingrown toenails. It's not praying every time you have a cold. And what happens sometimes in churches is people get the in their mind that if they'll go forward in the altar and ask the preacher and deacon to pray for them. Now, we hadn't had that around here recently, so I'm preaching this now without pointing any fingers at anybody. But some people thought it got to where people think they'd come just for whatever it was, you know, a bad cold, and that they're supposed to be healed because they prayed for them. And we that's not what he's talking about. We are to pray one for another all the time and pray for people to be well, if it be as God's will, and pray for their emotional state, pray for their witnessing abilities, pray for all that. But as far as praying for the sick, as God is talking about in this scripture, he is dealing with somebody that is really sick, really sick, and they are calling for the elders, and they are down where they know they need help. They're absolutely desperate for help, and they're reaching out to the elders of the church and have called for them to come unto them. Now notice, if you would please, and if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now he's talking about if they're there in that position because they've sinned against God, because they are out of the will of God, or because God's chastening them, then God will forgive them of their sin. Then it goes on in the next verse, it says, confess your sins, your faults one to another. I believe what he's saying here is this person under a chastening of God, and they're desperate for help. They call for the elders of the church. They confess their sin. They confess what they've done wrong or what they're doing wrong, whatever it is. And God said, I'll forgive them and raise them up, because they're making an honest confession down to business with God. And it's good to get down to business with God. Now, not all of it's because of chastening. And so there's a time you pray over them, and not because of chastening, not to have sins forgiven. But he said, if, notice that word if, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Then it said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another if that he may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I want us to back up to verse number 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now, there's a key phrase in that we need to get tonight. If we don't get anything else I say tonight, I want you to get this. The prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? You say, well, I believe God. I'm saved. I trust God. I believe God. And I believe God's word. That's well and good. But what is the prayer of faith? I want you to turn with me, please, in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 14 and 15. I think it'll give us a real clue here to defining what is the saving faith, this faith that he calls the prayer of faith, shall save the sick. Here's what in verse 14 of 1 John chapter 5, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Brother Paul mentioned a while ago that he had confidence that God hear him when he prayed. That's true, if he doesn't regard iniquity in his heart. But he said, this is confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, let's put this in what we're reading over here in in James. He's saying this prayer of faith is a confidence that God hears us because it is the will of God. Now, when you're trying to pray about something and you're seeking God's will for something, and you're trying to find God's will in that thing, and God doesn't give you any peace about it in your heart that that's it, then that's not according to God's will. If you're praying according to God's will and you don't know what God's will is, and you begin to ask God to help you, and you begin to ask God to heal you, or people around you praying for you to heal you, if God gives that assurance on the inside, and only God can give that, the preacher can't give it, the deacons can't give it, other people can say everything they want to say, but unless God Almighty himself gives you that assurance on the inside that this is the will of God, you cannot pray with that assurance that he's going to hear and answer your prayer and do what you want him to do. But if he does give you that assurance as you pray, and you do have that peace of God passes all understanding of man, and it is assured to you that that's the will of God for your life, then you can pray and believe God and trust God that that thing is going to happen. Amen? Are y'all still with me? You understand what I'm saying about praying for the sick? And sometimes it's not God's will to heal. Not God's will to heal. If it's God's will to heal everybody all the time, some of these fellas preach it that way, then how in the world does anybody die? I mean, they can get healed. If they've got faith, just keep on believing, healed, get healed again. And the same people that pray for them to get healed wear glasses, false teeth, all that kind of stuff. And it looks to me like if God can heal, they believe God so much can heal cancer and can heal broken legs and broke backs and necks and all that stuff. He can heal their eyes so they could see well without glasses. Amen. It may not be God's will to do that. It may not be God's will. I wear glasses because I never had any peace. And God said he's going to heal my eyes. Amen. And I want to see where I'm going and try to read. And so we see that. And so I pray tonight that you got this put together, that you understand God does answer prayer. God does want us to pray one for another. He does want us to confess our faults one to another and pray. And we're probably behind on that part of it, confessing our faults one to another, because we all like to look real good in everybody's eyes, but it does us good once in a while to admit that we do fail God and confess it. And then pray one for another that you may be healed, and pray for God to do his work and among our hearts, our lives, as a church, as a people. And I had this on my heart tonight, and I've done what I feel like God wanted me to do, and I pray you'll take it out home with you, and this week you'll meditate on it, think about it. And if anybody gets real sick and they want the elders to pray for them, call for us and let us know. But don't come forward in a service and ask us to pray for your toe ache. I'd be like Dr. Percy Ray and pray, make it worse. I've told that so many times, I better not tell it again. Ben Mayo will get on me for telling the same thing. I'll be able to tell it anyway. Dr. Percy Ray had this lady. She'd always get sick, get in the hospital. She'd call for him. He'd come, pray for her. She'd get better, get out, come to church. Then a few weeks later, she'd be back out, wouldn't come. She'd get sick, go to the hospital, call for him, he'd pray for her. One time she did that, he talked real rough anyway, down deep in his voice, and he went in there to pray for her. And when Dr. Percy Ray prayed, you might as well look out, something's going to happen. He said, Lord God, said she lies, and said she says she can get, come to church and be faithful, but she won't. Just kill her while you got her here. Said she reached out, got a hold of his coat, started pulling on it. Said, no, Dr. Ray, no, don't pray that. Said she got in church and stayed in church after that. I'm going to try that on one. Hey, by the way, why should we pray for God to heal somebody if they're not going to live for God? Our purpose in this life is to live for God. Now, I grant you, I do pray for unsaved when they're sick because I want to see them get well enough to get saved. But if that's what it takes to get them saved, it might be better they get sicker. It'd be better to get sicker and get saved than it would be get well and not get saved. So I think our main prayer ought to be when unsaved are sick, Lord, we want to see them get better if it be your will, but we're more concerned about their salvation. And pray that way. I believe we've got to honor that. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight, there may be somebody here that's not saved, somebody that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I want you to think seriously about this thing, about praying even for yourself when you're sick. How can you pray when you're not saved? You don't know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior. See, preacher, there's something down in my heart that's calling for me to get saved. That's something, it's the Holy Spirit of God dealing with you. You need to step out and walk down an aisle, bow at an altar, and get saved. Give your heart to Jesus. Cry out to God to save you. Then you're here tonight, and maybe just God speaking to your heart about something you just need to come pray about. I don't know. Whatever it is. Let's stand our feet, please. Father, speak to hearts. Deal with lives. I pray your will be accomplished and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.